right now I have the one and only Mr. Marty Wild, MBE. Hello, Marty.
Hi there, Ian. All right?
I'm wonderful, thank you. How are you?
I'm as good as can be.
Oh, still rocking?
Yeah, in spirit and in soul.
Good. That's the best way to be, always. I mean, I love rock and roll music. I was brought up on 60s music. I was brought up on rock and roll music.
Did you like Rockabilly Dreams on the album?
Yes. Yes, that was a very good track. Yeah. That was a very good track. I've been playing 60s World on the show as well.
Oh, yeah, good, yeah.
That is a really, really good track as well with Kim. Is it the first time you've recorded a song with Kim?
I've recorded before, but not as a single, not as a proper single.
Wow.
We took a lot of time on this. We took more time the ones before I sang it was really tied in with a charity. It was an Elton John song, and it was a very lovely song. But it was nice to do this one because it was something I wrote, and Kim was really keen to do it, which was lovely. You know, she helped me a lot.
It's nice. I'm going to be honest with you. It's a waste not having Kim making music and playing music and new music from Kim on my show, because she's such a talented lady. She's got a lovely voice. She had all those big hits in the 80s. There's no reason why she still can't. Get her out the garden. Get her back in the studio.
Well, she's got her greatest hits coming out this year, which they're going to do a big, heavy promotion on.
Oh, wonderful.
And after that, she is definitely going to record more albums. Oh, yeah, because Rick is writing all the time, so
good.
You know, you'll be hearing her all right. You know, she's like me, she'll be going on forever if she can.
That's wonderful, wonderful. But it's good as well. She's got two strings to her bow. She's got the gardening side of things, and she's got the music side of things, which is wonderful.
Yeah, she has. I think particularly with this COVID situation, I think the garden has been a wonderful thing for a lot of people to have a garden,
yeah,
which they can use and cultivate. It's been a great thing, you know. It takes your mind off it, and you're putting something back into this world. And you know, even it might be a small seed, but it's something. It's better than destroying something.
Oh, very true. But when the weather's like this, you've got somewhere to sit and enjoy.
Absolutely. It's a beautiful day today.
Oh, it's amazing. Where are you? Where are you based? Where do you settle down into?
Here now, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, we're at a place called Turin, which is in Hertfordshire.
I know that.
And it's a nice place. Very, you know, oh no, it's more than nice. I love it to bits. But also, I originally came from Greenwich, and I love Blackheath and Greenwich, and I love the southeast very much. So I'm torn between London and Turin, but Turin has been my home now for the last 50 years, and it's been very kind to me. It's a beautiful area.
Is it anywhere near Turin Berry Farm?
Yes, it's not far. Yeah, Turin Berry Farm is just down the road.
Because I've done some gigs at the hotel there.
Oh yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, that's only about three miles, I think, down the road.
Wow, I used to live in Hertfordshire as well. So over in Boreham Wood, we were practically neighbours.
Oh yeah, it's a nice, and lovely area.
Oh, it is. Anyway, let's talk about this new album. Right? What inspired it?
Well, I figured it might be my last album. I just felt that I wouldn't be recording too many more albums, and I felt if this was going to be the last album, I'd like it to be self-penned, because it's an area that I've ignored and for many years, and which is songwriting, and I should have been writing a lot more.
Yeah.
But this time I've come back to it, and I wanted it also not to be all rock and roll. I only wanted originally there wasn't going to be one rock and roll track on it, but in the end I couldn't resist it, and I wrote a track called Rockabilly Dreams,
yeah,
which is a tribute to rock and roll and the rhythm that comes with it. So yeah, it was just inspired by originally watching a couple on a charity run that I'd started. I'd fired the gun and off they went, and I thought, running together, that's a great it's a great thing in life. You know, that's what you do if you've got your, you know, where you run together with your partner, with your football team, with
cricket
team, whatever, you know, and your family, you know. It's I thought it was a nice title, so, and that's how it all started.
Wow, that is a really good inspiration, really. I mean, that is lovely. I mean, it's all, was it also a celebration? How long have you been with your lovely wife?
Over 60 years now.
Wow. Well, yeah. It's a testament to that as well, because you've been running together.
Well, I think it's the secret of life. I think no mortgage and a wife that doesn't nag.
we'll want that.
You cracked it.
Oh, dear. Who'd have thought that one when you were originally a teenager in love, eh?
Yeah, I mean... Funny enough, I've had a lot of press, and so obviously I've been talking about the old times, and
yeah,
and as I say, I can still remember the first day I ever saw her sitting on a bench at the rehearsals for the Oh Boy show.
Oh wow!
So it's been a great time. I've been a very fortunate man in many ways.
Was she part of the audience, or was she part of the part of the show?
She was in the Vernon Girls. On the TV show with me.
Of course she was.
She was part of the show, a dancer and a singer.
Wow.
So that's how it all kicked off, really. I mean, the Vernon Girls, there were about, I think there were 16 or 18 of these girls that were on every week, and of course I was in the middle of them all.
Yep.
Which was awful. I felt bad about that.
Oh, really?
As you can imagine, being the only guy with about 20 girls around you.
Especially oh dear!
The age I was, it was like being in a sweet shop. But when I saw this lady, that kind of changed things for me.
Didn't Oh Boy though launch you, Joe Brown?
Yeah.
Even Cliff was on Oh Boy.
Yeah, it launched Cliff. Launched me, Cliff, Billy Fury, Eddie. Well, I didn't. Yeah, I mean, many of the others as well came over on that show. There were lots. Brenda Lee was on it. Conway Twitty was on it. You know, there were lots of great names that came across from America. The great country group, the Browns. It was just a very, very productive. Time in my life. It was wonderful.
But it brought rock and roll as well into people's houses, which was great. It just expanded the music, because until really it came on television, I think people, especially the older generation at that time, the rock and roll is the devil's music, and you just put it out there and made it, made it acceptable for families. I think that's
right.
The thing.
That is the word, acceptable. It was. I mean, it was just something for everybody. I mean, I think the rock and roll, and I think all music, particularly when you get a music that the accent is with rhythm, which rock and roll is.
Mm.
I think that's, you know, that's like a celebration of life. It's a life force. It's something so deep, so meaningful, and it's meant a lot to me. I tell you, I just couldn't. I mean, I went to see Blackboard Jungle in about 1957 or 56. I can't remember which was now. And I went to see Blackboard Jungle, which was a black and white film.
I think it was 56.
But Bill Haley's music opened it.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I'd heard a rock and roll played on, well, proper rock and roll played on big speakers in the cinema. And I was blown away. And I said to my band, no more skiffle. I said, that's it. Rock and roll from now on, mate. On we go.
Were you a traditional skiffle group with a T-chest based, or were you had skiffle now, by the time rock and roll came along, had skiffle expanded into proper instruments?
No, we had a T-chest bass. I've got a lovely photograph of one of the guys standing up on it, playing away on his old T-chest.
Oh.
We were making music. We were having fun. It was a wonderful time, absolutely wonderful time to have been alive. But of course, when rock and roll came in, that was even better, you know. Then it was something really special. And all the T-chest bases disappeared and were broken up and put in dustbins. And out came the basses, you know, but people had to play bass properly then.
Yeah, of course. Well, they had a rough idea. I'm sure they picked it up pretty quick.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And then you went on without the band, didn't you, to have a solo career? I mean, some of the hits you had, you even covered Frankie Lane's Jezebel. Well, that was a bit of a hit for you, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yeah, it's one of the highlights of, well, it's one of the best songs in my show in many ways. It's like a showcase because it's got high notes in it and everything.
Yeah.
What a passionate little song.
It's a hard song to sing, isn't it? Oh.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
Well, once you've got the medley and the Jezebel and got round all that, and I think it's the way it plogs along, you know.
Ian, will you stop that, please? I don't want you singing this damn thing better than me. It's not fair.
I'm sorry. Thought we were going to duet then. Do apologise, Marty. Right, so you've gone through this process of being. Were you in the Larry Parn stable?
Yes, I was.
He was
my manager. He was a manager when he signed me up. He was already the manager of Tommy Steele.
Yeah.
But then after he signed Tommy, he signed me, and then he started to sign other acts, and obviously Billy and Vince Eager and Georgie Fame and, you know, there were loads of guys he signed. He was an incredible character. He was an interesting character in many ways.
And, yeah.
And he, I mean, a lot of the guys who were under him didn't like his attitude and the fact that he drove a hard bargain financially with them, I think. But with me, I was different. I was on a good percentage, so me and Tommy were all right. But some of the others, they were on 15 quid a week or 10 quid a week, whatever it was.
But he gave them all a music career, though. I mean,
absolutely. That's what I keep telling them. Well, I used to tell them that. I said, no point of whinging, mate. Where would you have been? You know, you'd have been scrubbing doorsteps or something, you know, if you hadn't have been seen by Larry or you know, used by him on TV. So you've got to appreciate what you've got.
He smartened them all up, put me in suits, gave him really wild names.
He did. Well, I mean, there's Fame, Georgie Fame, there was Fury, Billy Fury, there's Wild, there's Steel. Well, you should have called. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to go for strong words, have like. Surprisingly, didn't pick like Carbolic. That'd have been a strong name, wouldn't it? You know,
Jack Carbolic. Welcome to the stage, Jack Carbolic.
Well, you'd have had to have been careful how you were announced. Put it that way.
Yeah, and what you named the band as well.
There
you go. Oh, that's funny.
Oh, there's a classic, that one.
You like that?
Oh, there you go.
Oh, there's a couple of jokes in there, but I can't do that because we're on air.
No,
so you still go out, well, at the moment you're still touring. You've got a tour coming up, haven't you?
I've got a tour coming up in next May. I mean, originally the tour was going to be now.
Yeah.
We were going to be out on the road now. But because of, obviously, COVID, we've put back a year. And so it's been put back to next May. I mean, it's so frustrating, you know, not only for me, but for all the people that want music out there, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Try and see their stars or whatever, and hear music has become difficult. But it will get better. I'm sure it will. I'm sure
they're
going to come up with an antidote or certainly something like a flu jab.
Yeah.
And once we get that, you know, at least there'll be some semblance of reality come back. Because at the moment, you know, reality is just kind of thrown out the window.
Oh, it's
all
hard.
Of us, you know,
it's hard.
We're all sort of wandering around in circles at time, it seems to me. But
yeah, yeah.
We'll beat it. Don't you worry. We'll beat it. We're stronger than that than it is itself.
Oh, well, I'm glad you said that. I have to totally agree with you. We are, and we're resilient, and we'll get over it.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm sure.
You, nothing beats a human being, mate.
No. No.
You can't beat us. And the only sad thing is you can't fight it physically.
No, that's it.
You know, you can't give it a right hander. You can't.
You can't knock it over. No, not like that.
It's an incredible thing. I mean, if it had been dropped by aliens, I mean, it would never have surprised me because it's such a lethal thing. Who would have thought that it could have invaded people like it did?
But oh, yeah.
Anyway, we won't go on about that.
Just a. No.
We'll beat it.
Definitely.
Beat it.
See, I did a gig the weekend in a social club. And the weirdest thing about it was nobody got up and danced, and you got nobody really singing along. And it's like do you remember when the Beatles went out to Japan and they came back and they said it was really weird because nobody clapped until the end and nobody sung along?
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
It was just like that. It was like just playing to people were enjoying the music. You could see them bobbing along, but it's just nobody's getting up and dancing.
Yeah.
And that's what's missing at the moment.
Yeah, recently, about 2 days ago, this last weekend, there was a big concert on at Nebworth, and the people came in their cars. So there was the Kaiser Chiefs and Rick Astley and people like that, and they all enjoyed it. I know they did. We could hear the music playing because I play golf and the golf course is nearby, but they all came in their cars, and that I think is going to be when you get these big shows. Certainly for a while, they'll be like drive-ins.
Yeah,
it's the only way really I can foresee, you know, really big stars getting on stage, because you can't have them all. You know, you can't have like the old Wembley Stadium days. You just can't do it.
No, you can't have everyone on each other's shoulders. I mean, last couple of weeks ago, there was a gig in Newcastle, and they did it in little pods, and they had these little, it's like mini bits of staging.
Yeah.
And you could get three or four people on this stage, you bring your own chairs, and that is your area. And if you want to dance, it was outdoors, and if you want to dance there, you can do. But indoors, you've just got to sit like statues.
Yeah.
It's not good.
Yeah. I've got a show coming up in about a couple of weeks' time, actually, 2 weeks' time, which I'm going to do. And they've had to split the audience into two.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I do one section, and then they all leave, and then the other 15 come in for the next half.
That's mad. I got asked if I wanted to do a gig like that, and I said, yeah, not a problem, but it hasn't happened. You probably took the gig, Marty. So you still keep it in the family, because you've got, going back to the album, you've got your other daughter.
Yeah, Roxanne. Yeah.
You've got Roxanne playing, singing with you as well.
Yeah, five of the tracks are with Roxanne. I mean, well, Roxanne was with Kylie Minogue and Ellie Goulding, doing backing vocals for them.
Yeah.
Doing it brilliantly. You know, she was with Kylie for about 10 years.
Wow.
So, you know, and I thought, you know, well, hey, hold on a minute. She has a great voice. And I thought, get her out. Let's write some songs for her. Because I've written, obviously, for Kim, a large part of my life. And so it was a pleasure, and it was a pleasure to do it. And she performs so well. She sings beautifully. So I'm really proud of her, and I'm so glad I involved her in the album.
And Ricky's in the band, isn't he?
No, because Rick looks, most of the time he's with Kim.
Oh, right.
They have a separate life to us.
That's who I meant. He's out with, yes, I was getting confused. It happens.
Yeah, yeah. He did the orchestrations for Eddie, which are beautiful. You know,
yeah.
He took a lot of time on that. And he inspired me, because originally when I recorded Eddie, when I sung it, I wasn't sure. I wanted to do it, don't get me wrong, and I was pleased I did it, but I thought, oh, well, it won't mean much to anybody. But he put this beautiful orchestration on it, and on the new album, which I've got coming out, Running Together, we've remixed it, and we've added a couple of tiny little things which make a nice difference to it. So
and it's 2 minutes longer, because the version I've got, the original single version, is about 4 minutes,
yeah,
and the album version is about 6 minutes of Eddie.
It is, because at the end, Eddie and I are talking, so, which was taken off of our TV show we were doing, Boy Meets Girl. So, and it was a lovely thing to do, just to remind people that what I was singing about, and in actual fact, it actually did take place. A lot of that took place, so for real, you know.
Yeah, it's brilliant. I mean, has Ricky got any inclination to remix that song about the polar bear he did many years ago?
Which one was that?
It sang about I want to be a polar bear or something. I've got it somewhere.
I am an astronaut.
I'm an astronaut. That was it. I knew it was something a bit wacky. I'm an astronaut. That's it.
It was a children's song. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bless him. I've actually got that.
A children. You know, I wrote it for children, and it was always going to be a children's song. In fact, I re-recorded it. I did an album for. Songs for Your Grandchildren, it's called.
And I
re-recorded it. I love children's songs, and it's a pleasure to sing for children, because if you write for children, your mind can go anywhere you want. You don't have to be, you know, absolutely precise. You can be so free and open and let your mind go. I mean, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, John Lennon brilliantly recorded, was inspired by a little kid saying to him, "Oh, it's Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds." John,
it was a drawing that Julian brought home.
Was it?
Yeah, somebody looked at it, a kid looked at him, and that's Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
Yeah.
And that's where it came from. What a great inspiration.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, children are wonderful with kids. I mean, their little minds, you know, they're so free. As long as we don't pollute them, then that will be a better thing for the world as well.
that is very true, very true. So when does this tour start next year?
In May of next year.
Oh, brilliant.
With Eden Kane and Roxanne and Mark Winter as well.
Oh, wow. Yeah, Venus in Blue Jeans.
Yeah, I mean, a lovely guy, Mark Winter. And Eden Kane, of course, has been a dear friend to me for the last 40 years, 50 years. So it'd be wonderful to work, you know, let's hope we can get it all together.
Oh, that'd be great. I mean, let's face it, the music of the days gone by, and I'm going to sound, I'm only 54, but I love the older stuff. I even do a 60s show on Phoenix as well. But the music back then, it was just so innocent. It was just so nice. You know,
I like today's music very, in many ways, but obviously the music you grew up with means an awful lot to you, because it goes deep into your heart, you know, and so many memories come up when you hear songs, you know, you hear a song, you think, oh yeah, I remember that, you know, there I was,
puts you in a time and a place, doesn't it?
Yeah,
I mean, it's great. I mean, have you? I keep saying I mean, and I don't know why. Have you ever met the American rock and rollers, like Chuck Berry, for example?
I didn't meet Chuck. I met Jerry Lee. I met only briefly, mind you. Briefly, I met Bill Haley. I shook hands with Bill Haley.
Nice.
Carl Perkins. Eddie Cochran, of course. I worked with Eddie, and I worked with Gene Vincent.
Was he as wild as they said he was?
He was a tough nut, and I think poor old Gene. I think he had a really bad accident on a motorbike.
Yeah,
and I think that kind of impacted his life in a big, big way, and he couldn't do a lot of the things that you or I could do, you know, when we were young. So
yeah,
I think that he was a bit edgy, let's put it that way. But I mean, he loved Eddie, and Eddie loved him. You know, they fought. They used to fight like cat and dog, believe it or not. Like
really?
Like a couple of guys in the street at times.
Oh wow!
With broken chairs or whatever. then they'd end up with their arms around each other, walking out singing. You know, was that kind of relationship.
I would love to have been back in that time, watching all that. That would have. If I had a time machine, I think I'd go back and watch all that. Come back and meet you when you were younger, and meet.
Yeah. Well, I tried to the other day, but I found I can't do it anymore. It's hard getting out of bed. It's hard walking. I don't do anything else.
Oh, I know that feeling. I know that feeling only too well. Especially after a gig as well. You wake up the next morning and everything just doesn't want to move.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I realised when I was getting old, and it hurt. I tell you, it hurt a lot. And because to be a rock and roll star, you've got to have a certain amount of ego.
Oh, yeah.
And so anyway, I was going to one of the big stores, and there was a young guy, a well-built young guy with a very beautiful girl on his arm.
Yeah.
And they walked up to the door, and he said, "There you are." And he opened the door for me, and I thought, "You sod." I mean, that hurt, you know. That might say, "There you go, old boy," you know.
Oh, that's not nice. Tell me where he... Let's find out where he is, and I'll go and tell him off for you. So before I let you go, then let's talk about recording. I mean, recording back then was on tape. It was on Smoky Studios. You had only four tracks to play with. Now you can walk into the next room in your house and record anything you like.
Yeah, you can, and it's digital. It's clear and clean. No tape involved, and obviously, yeah, it was very different. And the other thing as well that was different is when we recorded, you'd have the guy would say, take one, and the conductor who was in charge of the band, if he was, I mean, some of my, but with the orchestral things, you know, the arrangements, the conductor would be there. He lifted his baton, and there you were with all those musicians. If you sang out a tune, That was tough, because that means that tape was scrapped.
Yep.
And all the guys playing was wasted energy. So you learnt you had to get it right. You know, you just had to. And it was a tough call for many of us. I mean, you know, Joe Brown, he took Joe Brown 7,000 takes once.
Wow. Well, I wonder what that was.
No, not really. because I got to have a go at him, and I always have a go at him.
You got to, yeah. I mean, again, Joe Brown, another icon.
Yeah, absolutely.
From that time, and he was a session musician as well, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. He played. He played on Billy's one of Billy's great rockabilly, one of the first rockabilly British rockabilly albums. I think it was called The Sound of Fury, something like that.
That was the first one. It came out as a 10-inch album, didn't it?
Yeah, well, that's Joe on guitar.
Wow.
And he played... He learned a lot from Johnny Cash as well.
Yeah.
When Johnny Cash was on the show.
Did he get told off for that? Well, he played something he shouldn't have.
Well, he might have done, but I know Johnny Cash had to pick him up a couple of times. But
yeah.
Johnny loved him, and he bought him, I always remember, he bought him a pair of cowboy boots in loads of different colours, greens, blues and yellows. And these boots, I thought, were absolutely horrendous. Johnny Cash had bought them for him, and I always remember, he stuck them on for one of the shows.
Yeah.
And he had to walk down a hard-balled slope that he had to walk down while the band was playing.
Right.
And in rehearsals, he walked down in these boots, and it was kalonk, 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 kalonk. But, you know, great fun.
But the mic's picked all that up as well. Oh, dear, that's great. Well, it's been brilliant talking to you. It really has, and reminiscing. Good luck with the new album. Good luck with the new tour.
Thank you, Ian, and thank you for asking intelligent questions. I get asked some of the most mundane things you never believe. So thanks for you've made it an interesting show for me.
Thank you
very much.
It was my pleasure, and thank you for saying that. I really appreciate that. I'm gonna end this little chat with Running Together, because for the last half hour we have been running together, and I've had a great time. Thank you very much.
And so have I, Ian. It was my honour. Thank you very much indeed.
Cheers, Marty. God bless.
Yeah, and you. Take care now. Take care.
I always knew it was a special time. I knew it right from the start. Those memories will stay with me forever. But things will change, and time can wait for no one. But deep in my heart, days I recall. I remember them always. I always knew you were the special one. I knew
Marty Wilde and Running Together here on Drive Time on Phoenix FM.
Go to phoenixfm.com and listen to online guest interviews. Check the events for your area and listen to great radio online.